T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Live Sunday nights, this is the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS.
Rich are getting rich while the poor are getting poor. God's getting less while the devil's getting more. Nobody's standing in his way. It's time for us to make a change.
Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. So while caution must be exercised to control the spread of the Wuhan, China coronavirus, the statistics on the number of severe cases and the relatively low mortality rate should help ease America's fears, at least at this point in time. Joining us now to look at some of the data is Dave Traubert from the Kansas Policy Institute. Dave, thank you for joining us this evening.
Good evening, John. Thanks for having me.
Well, Dave, you know, you guys, there's nobody better to go to for just pure empirical data. So I saw that article that you put out, I think it was yesterday, so, and I appreciate you for doing it. But the mortality rate of the virus in the United States actually declined from 4.1% on March 8th to 1.3% as of yesterday. And as the numbers of tests increase, I imagine that number is even likely to decrease any even further, is it not?
Well, it's hard to say, of course. We want to share this information so people have the facts. We want to be careful not to draw any conclusions from it because there are so many things that are still unknown. It's good, you know, that said, it's better to see the mortality rate declining than increasing. And I want to remind, of course, you know, but of course remind your viewers, this is not, you know, medical is not my background.
Right.
We're just looking at the data because there's an awful lot of people who are scared, understandably, and we want to provide the data on this. So yeah, right now it's good that it's has fallen to a little over 1%. It differs by country. I'm looking at some updated. We get this information from worldometers.info. Anybody can go there and see it by country, and it's updated many times a day. We use this one because this is the source used by Johns Hopkins University Hospital for their worldwide maps they do. So it's obviously a reliable data site. But of course, it's going to continue to change.
But I mean, if you look at the numbers here, it looks like it's much lower than some other previous pandemics. And the percentage of the U.S. population with COVID-19 seems low. I guess what I'm getting to here, Dave, is it begs the question then, are we overreacting to the extent that we're the potential damage to the economy seems awfully high? It just seems like the reaction, I think back at SARS and I think back at some of the other pandemics and epidemics that we have faced. We did not respond this way. We did not react with the draconian response that we have. And the damage that I'm afraid we're going to do to our economy is going to be, it will take years to recover from. Am I wrong?
I think the damage is going to be significant. It's going to be some time before we know certainly how much that damage is amounts to will depend upon how quickly we can get people back to work. You know, whether or not this is an overreaction, I think is a personal opinion. There's not really a right or wrong. Everybody has their own idea on it. It needs to be balanced. I mean, there's no question we need to be taking aggressive action to try to limit the spread.
Yes, absolutely.
And especially among the more vulnerable segments of the population. And the more we're hearing now, it's easy. I think it's one thing to say it's a low level. I mean, it's way less than 1% of the population in the U.S. that's affected yet. That, of course, is going to continue to rise. But we don't know how bad this can get. And so we don't want to understate the importance of the data and say, let's dismiss it. That's not it at all. I think the impact it can have on the healthcare system is a very large concern, because while the overall numbers may be relatively small compared to other pandemics at this point, our healthcare system may not be, I think we're finding out, it may not be as well prepared as we need to be for a circumstance of this nature.
So
it's important. So there's a lot of some of the precaution we're hearing from not just some of the local governments in Kansas, but from some of the other states that are doing these shelter in place notices.
Right.
Is that they're really trying to make sure that they want to make that the healthcare system would have the beds and the material available to deal with these cases as they come along.
And I get that. A friend asked me, I spoke with the Pachyderm Club on Friday, and someone asked me just point blank. They said, if there's a shelter-in-place order in Sedgwick County, will you comply? And I told them, if we're sick, absolutely. If we're not, I'm going to work because I have a $2,100 commercial rent payment and I have to make it. So, no, I will not comply, period. I can't. I can't afford it. And that's just the way it is. And I don't, you know, they're not going to arrest me for going to work because they can't. And that's just the way I see it. Because that's just the way it is. And I'm sorry if people don't like that. I'm sorry if that, now, granted, if I'm sick, I'm sick. I'll stay home. But I for me, the way I view this is I'm so concerned that we're setting a dangerous precedent by so easily surrendering our rights and our liberties in the altar of prevention.
I get that, and that's certainly a very legitimate concern for Americans to have. There was an article on Reason.com that addressed this, and where some legal scholars were looking at it, and the general consensus is, yes, state and federal constitutions give elected officials the kind of policing power to take it, not unlimited, of course, but they do have broad policing powers in situations of emergency. Whether they go too far or not is something that maybe once this is behind us, we all might want to take a look at. And certainly we'll be able to do it with some information about what we just went through. You know, it's most of the people dealing with this at the state, local, and federal level have probably never dealt with something like this before.
Oh, no, clearly.
So,
yeah.
I think it is understandable to be very concerned about people, even if they're not sick, are they going to become carriers? And there's just so much unknown. Hopefully, as more data develops, they'll be able to lift some of these stay-at-home orders sooner than anticipated, because I know there's an awful lot of people in this country and in our state who are living paycheck to paycheck, and they really need to get back to work.
Yeah, you've studied economics, you've studied, you know, this kind of stuff for years. Any idea how long and how bad, I know it's hard for me to ask this of you, it's really not fair for me to ask this of you. Any idea how bad the devastation to the economy could be?
John, I don't think there's any way of knowing, again, because there's certainly not at my pay grade. There's not, I don't have access to the kind of data nor have the experience to be able to make any kind of a prediction. We know it's going to be deep, and it's going to be probably lasting for some time. There will be hopefully a bounce back, but it's not, I'd be surprised if it bounced right back to where it was 2 months ago. Companies that have, there's an awful lot of small businesses and even some big businesses that run on relatively thin margins.
Mm-hmm.
They're losing large amounts of money right now because they still have, even if they only keep a skeleton staff, they're still experiencing very large fixed costs.
Right.
As you mentioned, you have a $2,100 a month mortgage payment. So one of the questions we're posing to state and local government officials is, there's a lot of talk at the federal level about some relief. Will state and local government officials provide some relief, such as, might you get a break on your property tax?
Right.
Are there regulations that we're looking at a lot of regulations right now that are being waived or relaxed? Let's not put any of those back in place until there's been a detailed open public discussion about the necessity to put those all back in place.
Right. Right.
What are the kinds of things that we can learn from this? Where can, businesses and individuals are really tightening their belts and having to make a lot of sacrifices, and government is working hard at state, local, and local levels, all levels to deal with this. But at some point, we're gonna probably need, and I'll go back to the property tax relief, because that's that tax that you have to pay no matter what happens to your income. So what can be done there? Where can local governments and state government maybe look to tighten their belts on some unnecessary spending, more discretionary spending, and be able to provide some relief to people like you and landlords that are having to pay steep rents?
Right.
Their small businesses, their tenants are having to pay rents, and they're having to pay big, big property tax bills.
That's a good question. Dave, I posted the link to your article on the John Whitmer Show Facebook page, but if folks want more information on this or on some of the other, just the data, you guys are a wealth of information. Where can they go for that information?
A few places. Where the link to that story was on the Sentinel, that's sentinelks.org. We're going to be also updating that data every morning starting tomorrow with the U.S. statistics from on the COVID coronavirus cases. And we'll also have it on the Kansas Policy Institute Facebook page.
Perfect.
KansasPolicy.org. We'll also have updates on some of these policy issues as we get them.
Perfect. Thank you, brother. I appreciate you keeping us informed and updated and keeping us educated, because it helps to have, there's a lot of misinformation out there, so it helps having good, solid data, my friend. I appreciate you coming on and sharing it with us. And like I said, the link is on the Facebook page, but always, always a pleasure having you on, my friend.
Thanks, John. Appreciate the opportunity.
Thanks, brother. We'll take a quick break. Then Dalton Glasscock from the Sedgwick County GOP is going to give us an update on what the county party is doing to help keep members of the Sedgwick County Republican Party informed during this new normal. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show. We'll be back right after this.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.